Hi Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, thanks Mike. I've got a little bit of a cold, but
I'd be a bit bunged up, but that's fine. Well, we're looking today at slowing as part of the Abiding series. So this podcast is going to be looking at, basically we're looking at the small group notes here that were sent out after the great sermon we had on this. So just to remind people, the notes I've got here have got sections: reflect, respond, practice, and a further reading. And I'll just take the opportunity to just ask you a couple of questions about, you know, your own journey with slowing. So first reflection I was going to ask you was, who do you most identify with out of Mary and Martha, and in what ways do you sympathize with Martha's frustrations?
I think I'm a bit of a weird mix.
Right.
I think I am probably a bit more naturally like Mary. In terms of, but I guess that's probably actually the journey that I've come on.
Right.
So I think in my best moments I'm like Mary, I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. I think in my worst moments I'm like Mary in terms of not helping out, but not necessarily sitting at the feet of Jesus, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, I'm kind of maybe a little bit naturally lazy. So I don't tend to just busy myself with doing these days. I definitely think that was my story. I remember when I was at university and I was involved in the Christian Union quite a lot. And I remember just that sense of like, I couldn't stop, you know, like I had to, there was so much to do and I had to keep going, And I was involved with church stuff as well. And I remember once getting an email from a friend of mine saying, Jeff, you know, if you stop, it's okay. And Jesus still loves you, and if you do nothing, he still loves you. And I really remember that. And so I think definitely that was probably a really helpful thing for me to hear at the time, because I probably lived a little bit out of a works righteousness mentality.
Yeah.
So I wasn't, my activity wasn't fueled by grace. My activity was fueled by, this is what you're supposed to do. You know, I'm supposed to do all this stuff. Whereas now, you know, I do feel like I am able to stop and be. I think a helpful phrase, I think it's Pete Scazzaro, talks about, you know, you're a human being rather than a human doing.
Yeah.
God cares more about your character than kind of what you do.
Yeah.
And so I think, yeah, now I'm definitely on a journey of becoming more like Mary, and I do love to sit at Jesus' feet. I think it's always a challenge of like, but there are things to do. So how do you, and my wife, Miriam has a book called Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World. And so it's like, how do you adopt the heart attitude of Mary even when you're in the middle of the busyness of Martha?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, I think, where we want to get to. It's not that, right, we don't ever have to do anything, because, you know, Martha was hosting and, you know, she was doing the things that in one sense she should have been doing, but she was getting stressed and anxious and fed up. Had she been doing those with a Mary heart, I don't think Jesus would have rebuked her. You can tell she's not, because she's like, Jesus, get Mary to help me out. You can tell she's prizing the wrong things in those moments. So I do sympathise with her, and it definitely is an easy temptation when there's stuff to be done to fall into the trap of just doing it in our own strength. The challenge and the invitation, I think, from Jesus is, do it, because it needs to be done, and if it needs to be done, but do it with the Mary heart.
Yeah, that's good.
How about you? Who do you most identify with?
Martha every day. Yeah, I'm a bit of a doer, so everything I'm involved with, I try and drive forward and do things, and got initiatives, and you know, if something's got to be done, I'll go and do it. But I think that after a long life of burnouts, I've learned that you can be busy and slow at the same time.
Yeah.
In that you can be active, like at work. Work has always been really, really busy for me. But I've learned through the Abiding series, I've just learned that my peace is a barometer of how slow I am reacting inside. So my peace slows everything down. So I can still be busy. But what I find is that, for me, abiding, that continuous communion is so vital, is that I try to ask the Holy Spirit to help me solve my problems.
Yeah.
Now, I'm programming all day long. You might think that's mad, but when I hit a problem, I basically say, "What, you know, Lord, how can we overcome this. You're creative. You're my creative force. So the Holy Spirit can be my peace, my strength, my everything. So when I'm busy, I rely upon the Holy Spirit to give me this contentment and peace. Yeah. Well, I know as soon as I lose that, start getting ratty and irritable, that I'm now back in a Martha mode. And I think that's what's going on there, that she was getting irritable and losing the plot in terms of being worldly.
So
you can be busy, but you've got to look at the barometers of peace and joy. I find them really too helpful indicators to say, am I walking in the Spirit or am I walking, you know, by my own power. But I've heard lots of people say, oh, it's so unfair. Poor old Martha. I've heard a number of mums say that. She's got to do all the dinner and everything. Yeah. And then Martha's sister's sitting there having a laugh. Yeah. But I think it is, like you say, it's just irritability is a sure sign that you're just not enjoying the peace that's available to you.
And I guess the prioritising, isn't it? In terms of like the things that she was doing weren't wrong, but also Jesus is there. So it's like there's an invitation to just come and sit. But for her being the best host, you know, it was a cultural thing, but being the best host was actually more important in that moment. You know, who knows what motivations are driving her heart, but we can kind of glean that it wasn't the motivation of just, I want to be with Jesus. And we've got to watch that in ourselves in terms of, she was probably doing it for Jesus, you know. So the thing is, well, of course I'm doing the right thing. I'm doing this for you, and I think we could fall into the trap in church, you know, life of being very busy and going, yeah, but I'm doing it for you. And I wonder how often Jesus' response is, yeah, but I just want you to come and be with me, you know. And actually, sometimes when we're doing it, or we think we're doing it for Him, we're really doing it for ourselves, and our sense of worth and status and things like that. Yeah. So, but I think with all of these things, we're talking about heart posture. You know, that is identified, like you said, through emotions, you know, that we might feel, and that then works itself out in actions. But it can work the other way, that actions then feed into our heart posture. So I heard a helpful quote by a guy called Zach Eswine, I think it was, and he says, a quiet heart, you could, you know, say a slow heart, is grace given and fought for. You know, so, you know, it's a gift from God, but we have to fight for it.
Yeah, you have to guard it.
Yeah.
I like that. On the response section, I think it's quite good to remind ourselves that we can do a lot of reflection. I think you said this in one of your sermons. You can do a lot of reflection, but unless you're responding and putting it into practice, it is just a bit like wearing a T-shirt, isn't it? Just generally, how important is it for us to respond and put this stuff into practice?
I mean, I think it's really important. I mean, Jesus says, doesn't he, when he's talking about the, you know, the wise and foolish builders, you know, that the wise ones are the ones who hear his words and do them, put them into practice. Yeah. You know, they're the ones who build their house on the rock. You know, the foolish ones are the ones who hear them. They still hear them, but they don't do them. And then they build their life on the sand and they don't have that level of security. So revelation on its own is kind of not enough. Like revelation, a fancy phrase, revelation on its own doesn't necessarily lead to renovation, you know, of the heart.
I like that.
In the sense that it has to, you know, we get the revelation and then the way that it kind of, that we become changed by it is, yes, of course, to believe it, but then to live it. We've got to live out the revelation and that will outwork itself in practice. I think making external changes in some of these is actually a way to bearing the fruit of internal change. And it works both ways as well. As you get an internal change, that will feed out into external change as well. But so something like slowing, I think part of it as well is understanding that we are, as people, like body, you know, body and soul, you know, we're kind of, it's all interlinked. So the things that we do with our bodies affect our emotional and spiritual well-being. Yeah. So if we are constantly physically rushing around, that will have an impact upon our spiritual and emotional sense of hurry as well.
Yeah.
And again, that works the other way around as well. If we are hurried in heart, we will be hurried in
body.
So with this one particularly, that's why some of the kind of suggestions, I think, on the practice sheet are like practical things that you can do to actually force yourself to slow. And as you physically force yourself to slow, your body's response then feeds into your heart. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that's great. And again, I like this one on the practice sheet. I mean, how much time is it taking you to do all this? Because my view is that I just value this stuff amazingly. That I've got in front of me, you know, a whole load of questions, reflections and practice and further reading, which we'll come on to. And then in addition to that, I've got this great practice sheet. So, I mean, you're investing a huge amount into this.
Yeah, I mean, some of it I steal from other people. The illusion. No, I mean, it is time consuming, but I think, again, it goes back to the need to respond. That actually is very easy for us, and I can be very guilty of this. You know, even in preaching a message, and it's stopping there, you know, at that point of preaching, I think we can, kind of fall into the trap of hearing a message and then it stop at that point. And I once remember hearing a guy called Steph Liston, who leads a church in Camden, part of Relational Mission, saying that he once was preaching in a church and he had to do that thing where you go and stand at the back of the kind of building, you know, and people walk past you and shake your hand as you go out. And so everyone, you know, was coming past and shaking his hand, and somebody came and said something like, "Oh, thank you so much, that's really blessed me." And his kind of response was, "Well, not yet, it hasn't." Like, in the sense that it's only a blessing to you if you then go and do something about it.
No, that's a good point.
So that's really the heart behind the practice sheets.
No, they're great.
They are time consuming, but hopefully they are a resource that helps us to put these things into practice.
Okay, one of the things that I like about the sheets is the self-reflection. I mean, there is a quote, isn't there, that an unexamined life is not worth living.
Mm.
So, and I think it is quite biblical to actually reflect upon where you're at. And so what we've got here is an identifying a hurry sickness. And we've got certain labels here, irritability, hypersensitivity, restlessness, and others. What ones did you tick, just out of curiosity?
Let me have a look at the list, Mike. Probably all of them. So these are the things that reveal hurry in my heart.
You can see my ticks, so there's quite a few.
Don't worry, I've probably got just as many as you. I mean, definitely, so for me, irritability. So, you know, it says you get mad, frustrated, or annoyed way too easily. That would unfortunately be true with me. Not so much in like a church context. Very good at hiding that. But you know, if you were to ask my family, whether that was ever the case, that's where it would come. Hypersensitivity. Yeah, I could feel that sometimes. If I'm rushing from, you know, in my heart, have a disproportionate effect. You know, comments, negative comments, minor comments have a disproportionate effect. You end up carrying them around kind of in your mind. Restlessness. I think when I stop, I'm pretty good at being able to stop. And workaholism or non-stop activity, not so much for me. Emotional numbness. Yeah, I think in terms of like my passion for the Lord, I would say apathy is like bred from the hurried heart because you're living life on the surface, you know, just skimming across the reality of, you know, who Jesus is and what he's done, you know, kind of picking, you know, it's like grabbing breakfast as you walk out the door, you know, rather than sitting down, really enjoying it. And so it just leads to a kind of surface level spirituality. So I definitely think if I'm not really delighting in Jesus, it's probably because I'm not spending enough time to really gaze upon him. Lack of care for your body. Yeah, I think probably that, you know, sleep and exercise are the things that get squeezed out, don't they, when you're busy. Escapist behaviours. For me, it's you know, it's not sinful things, it's just disappearing into things that aren't reality, you know. So that you don't really have to deal with other things that are. Not so much slippage of spiritual disciplines. I mean, I'm fortunate, obviously, in my job, I can create space to do that. And maybe less so isolation because I don't really have the choice. But yeah, those were the ones for me.
It's amazing the ones you ticked and not the ones I ticked. And the one that says, well, we
compliment each other so well.
So well.
We're in harmony, Mike.
We're in total harmony. Amazing, incredible. So, is on kind of on my mind, and I know I've tried to explain this or tried to work this out with you know, the guys and gals in the small group, is that in a sense we have got a work in progress sheet with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And I'm always aware of what's on my work in progress.
Yeah.
And I know I can't be too many. So if I've ticked a lot of those,
I'd
go to the Holy Spirit and I'd ask him and say, what do you want to work on? Because, and that's what I've tried to say all the way, that in a sense that we've got all of these different abiding topics, but what's the one?
Yeah.
And that's what I like about the survey at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It will prioritise and say, well, actually, probably, this is the one area, the one topic out of the 8 or 9 that I'm going to work with the Holy Spirit on. And within that, if you look at your action sheet, is, well, what's the one or two things that's on my work in progress with the Holy Spirit? And I'm going to commit to working with him on those until we can move on. And that's what I've tried to communicate with the small group. And I think that works quite well in terms of what's the priority. What's your kind of methodology of working? If you tick those, what would you then do with those?
Yeah, I mean, I think the way you describe it is a really helpful way. I'm probably not quite as strategic as that.
Right, okay.
Because my brain doesn't quite work in that way. But I think that idea of listening to the Holy Spirit and knowing yourself.
Yeah.
And knowing where you are regularly falling short and struggling and being honest with yourself and then going, okay, so what do I now? What truth do I need to believe? You know, what's at the root? Because that's always the question as well for me, is that, like, if there's a sin in my life or just a characteristic where I'm just falling short of Christ's heart for me, the root, at the real, real root of that, that's probably flowing from something of the gospel that I don't believe. You know, so when it comes to, like, hurrying, you know, the most obvious one would be, I don't really believe that, you know, God's in control and working for my good, you know, because I've got to keep going and I can't stop and I can't let go because what if, you know, this happens, whatever. So I want to start from that place of going, almost, what's the lie that I've believed? You know, what's the truth that I need to take hold of? And then what does that truth look like lived out? And once I have a vision of what it looks like lived out, then it's like, okay, so how do I get there? So taking, like, irritability, that comes, if I'm really digging down, that comes, again, probably from a couple of things. It comes from control. So I'm irritated when things interrupt my schedule, you know, that I don't want to be on there. But also, you know, comfort in terms of there's an interruption, you know, to my life, and there's an inconvenience in that, and there's a whole load of selfishness and self in there that doesn't, you know, wants things to run exactly as I want them to run, and you know, is about self-serving nature. So there's even just those three things, there's a lot of things in there that actually are incompatible with the gospel. So a phrase that I've been thinking about the last couple of weeks, because I read it in a book, is talking about the difference between our professed theology and our practiced theology. In that we profess a lot of things to believe, but actually the way that we live or the attitudes that we have in our heart are incompatible with what we profess. You know, like, if I really believe, if I believe my life is not my own, then actually I should never get irritated because, you know, it's not my life. You know, whatever comes my way, Lord, that's your, you know, that's fine. I'm here. I'm your servant. I'm only irritated when actually my heart is inclined in on itself. So that's a bit long-winded to say that would kind of be my process. Terms of, like, the irritability, I'd then be praying. I'd be praying for a gentle heart. I'd be looking at the situations when I'm reacting badly. I mean, for me, it all comes back to, am I walking closely with Jesus and am I enjoying him? If I am, I'm in that place all the time, then I'm not going to be irritable. I had this kind of mini revelation a few years ago that you're never impatient to move out of a situation that you're enjoying. If you're enjoying something, you're never like, oh, I just want this to finish. You're in the moment, you're enjoying it, you're delighting in it. So if I can get to that place in my heart in terms of Christ, then whatever comes my way, I can walk with that patience.
So again, that's about that peace, isn't it? And the great barometers, peace and joy, of where you're at spiritually. Further reading, last thing to talk about. I love the further reading. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's a book that I know that in our small group, I think Hannah's read it and was saying how good it is.
Yeah,
it's pretty good. Is that one book that you'd recommend?
I think that's probably, yeah. I mean, not above the Bible.
I mean, of the books that you've recommended.
Yeah, I think that is the book that probably has kickstarted a lot of this thinking in my heart. Because it just resonated, you know, so much. And it's basically, you know, its premise is there's an epidemic of hurry and it's stealing away our joy, you know, and the full life that Jesus got for us. So he focuses on, first half of the book is all about like diagnosing the problem. Second half of the book is some core spiritual disciplines. I think we're touching them all in this series. I think it's slowing, silence and solitude, Sabbath, and there's one other, I can't remember which one it is. So that kind of, yeah, began this whole thing of like, oh, okay, there's a different way to live, which sounds really obvious, but it's like this revelation of like, no, and actually Jesus' heart for us is that we would live differently. So yeah, it's very easy to read as well, so I would highly recommend it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts.
That's all right, thank you, mate.
Yeah, and look forward to the next podcast.
Yeah, great.
Thank you. See you later. See ya.